WTLC AM, W224 DI, W236 CR Indianapolis. It's time to discuss the important topics happening in and around Indy. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby, brought to you by Child Advocates. Your voice, their future on AM 1310, 92.7, 95.1 FM, The Light.
And good afternoon. Welcome to Community Connection. I'm Tina Cosby. Today is Monday, June 13th, and it is a toasty one out there. My understanding is it's going to get even hotter. Actually, along those lines, we have a quick public service announcement for you right now. Now, normally, we would be telling you today about the upcoming food and meal distribution at the Urban League, which would have been tomorrow, but we've just gotten word from the president and CEO of the Indianapolis Urban League, Tony Mason, that unfortunately, due to the high heat index that is projected for tomorrow, the food and meal distribution at the Urban League has been rescheduled for Tuesday, June the 21st. So that's 1 week from tomorrow. 1 week from tomorrow. Again, that food and meal distribution that has been taking place biweekly at the Indianapolis Urban League at 10 a.m., it was supposed to be tomorrow morning, has been rescheduled to next Tuesday, June 21st at 10 a.m. Due to projected extreme heating and extreme conditions involving the heat. This, again, according to the president and CEO of the Indianapolis Urban League, Tony Mason. So on the 21st, same time, same location, just a week later, please make note and share this with others who may not be listening right now, but who will need to know. We'll certainly keep, keep this information out here on our airwaves. And I'll have another reminder before we end the show today. But again, due to extreme heat and extreme heat projections, tomorrow's food and meal distribution at the Indianapolis Urban League has been postponed by 1 week until next Tuesday morning, June 21st, when we hope it'll be a cooler and a lot safer conditions for that food and meal distribution. So a week later, a week after tomorrow, a week later. On the show today, our voter education and civil involvement contributor, Julia Vaughn, is back. She has something to say about that proposed $225 check the governor of the state of Indiana is planning to get into the hands of Hoosiers for inflation and economic relief. We'll hear from her about what she thinks about that and more. Those congressional hearings on Donald Trump's involvement in that deadly domestic terrorist attack on the nation's capital January 6th resumed this morning and just adjourned a short time ago. We're going to take some time to let you weigh in on that, and I'm going to tell you, I was absolutely glued. If you were glued to last Thursday night's testimony, today's, this morning's, was just absolutely, it was just unreal. I mean, you know, it was kind of jaw-dropping, and how they have so matter-of-fact share this information, evidence. Anyway, we'll talk about it. I'm going to open the lines a little bit later in the show so that we can talk about it. Also today, we are inching ever so closely to the start of IBE Summer Celebration, which, among other things, features the nation's largest and most successful and longest running minority health fair. We'll speak with the director of the Indiana State Department of Health's Office of Minority Health about what to expect and how you can prepare, how you can get ready for this year's Black and Minority Health Fair at IBE Summer Celebration. But first, as we were saying last week, the month of June ushers in a number of observances. You got Juneteenth, you got Black Music Appreciation Month, and of course, Father's Day. And there are others, but these are a few of the biggies. And as promised, we're going to get to all of them. Today, we're going to be talking about Father's Day. And here with us now are City County Councilor, District 14 Representative, and the CEO of the Pathway Resource Center, Lakeisha Jackson. Councilor Jackson, welcome back to the show. Haven't had you on for a while.
I know. Thank you, Ms. Tina Cosby. Thank you for having me. I'm honored.
Thank you. Well, the honor is here. This is our honor as well. And back by popular demand for an encore performance for the second week in a row, Dr. Daryl K. Webster, Senior Pastor at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. And Dr. Webster, I understand you are going to be keynote speaker at this event. And Councilor Jackson, I understand you're going to be one of the special invited guests. So we've got two of the biggies on the show with us today.
Thank you so much
for
having us on.
Yeah, well, thank you. So tell us about this upcoming event. And I understand it's the 16th, right? This Friday?
Yeah, I'll start it off. It's this Thursday.
This Thursday.
Yes, Lakeisha Jackson. I'm also the CEO of Pathway Resource Center. Pathway is actually hosting this event along with Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church Men's Boot Camp. Mm-hmm. And what it is, it's a Fathers and Sons Father's Day Dinner titled Fathers Investing in Our Sons Comeback Boot Camp. It's going to be a catered dinner with free raffles and resource vendors. And we also have another special guest, Honorable Prosecutor Ryan Mears. So he's going to be giving out free resources, and he's going to be talking to the men about what resources he has available through his office and just giving them some encouragement as well. But it's going to be this Thursday, June 16th at 6 p.m., 6 to 7:30, at Amberwoods Clubhouse. That's 10202 mm-hmm. John Jay Drive. And all they have to do is just go online and register. We want them to register by tomorrow, which is Tuesday, at pathwayindy.org. It takes 30 seconds. We know people don't like to register, but the importance of registering is it holds their spot, and it gives them their gift. They're going to get a gift. Everybody's going to get something and a certificate for being there. And I'm just going to be a keynote. I'm just going to be a guest speaker. But Pastor Darrell K. Webster is going to bring it home, and I'll give him a chance to talk about why we're doing this initiative. Pastor?
Yes, again, thank you, Council Lady Lakeisha Jackson, who's doing a great job.
Yes, she does.
She has a fabulous job on the east side.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so grateful to be partnershipping with her in this event. Actually, we are together every second Saturday of the month. In boot camp, partner with Pathway, whereby we give away food. We've already did mental health workshop and addiction workshops right there in Amber Woods. And I want to say, because, you know, I understand, even though I'm a pastor, most people are not coming to the church. We're going to only draw a certain amount. So we want to go to where they are in public housing or low-income housing to offer this boot camp. Why do it Father's Day? Because we love our mothers, and I am just a product of my mother. But we can't leave the fathers and men behind. If you look at the statistics says that the impact of what happens to boys and girls that are raised in fatherless homes. So this Thursday, what we want to do is particularly bring fathers together from that community, not just Amberwood, but from that whole east side community where, you know, just this week, the weekend, we had shootings on Midhoffer, shootings on Shaylin. And we want to say to fathers, you matter and we care. And the reason why we're calling it Comeback, because one of the things we want to do is add values to those fathers to understand that before they're ever a father, they got to become a good man. And we want to come alongside of them and help them become a good man. And becoming a good man, we can help them to become good fathers. And that's not to take away from guys who are already doing the job as fathers. Why bring in prosecutors? Because, you know, in that area, in that zip code, we're out there, and this is our second year out there with Council Lady Jackson. We run into a lot of guys who return from the penal system and want to do better. And so we know that Prosecutor Mears' Second Chance initiative is actually benefiting a whole lot of people as it relates to child support and other issues. So we want to bring him in to say, hey, we want to come along and help you, not hurt you. So that's the impact. And then you'll hear other stories from fathers and men who've been in that system and who has made a comeback. We got several guys, not just Kirk Moore. You heard Kirk Moore on Thursday. But we got guys who came out, got in our program, and now they're social workers, recovery coaches, and so we want this to be a weekend or this Thursday of giving back to fathers and sons and men.
Well, so Dr. Webster, can you let everyone know about your boot camp? What exactly is it? And then I have another question regarding how how a good man is defined, because you were saying you can't be a good father unless you're a good man first. So I want to know your description of that, but also tell us about the boot camp first, and then we'll go to the
Okay. Well, boot camp is a 17-year outreach to fathers and men where we bring them together and help them to work through complex issues by adding value to them. We start with character development because we believe that the problems that we deal with, we have to reach them from the inside out. Most guys who come to my boot camp, now we have not just guys from the penal system, we have educators, business owners, and doctors who also attend that boot camp. But we believe that our job is to add value to men from the inside out. Most of us don't have a safe place to come and to talk about our adverse trauma. We don't have a safe place to come and talk about our father wounds. We don't have a safe place to come and say, hey, I'm not defining whereby not just character development, leadership development, and help men reconnect with their families. So you can look at, go to my website, type in Pastor Daryl K. Webster, Bootcamp Connect, and that website will come up under Emmanuel Mission A Baptist Church. So it's a place where we help men work through complex issues, whether it's from their childhood to being a good husband, to being a better man. We offer mental health coaching. We offer addictions counseling. We're in the schools mentoring, and half of the guys who are doing this is guys who have been through my program. So that's a little bit about the boot camp.
Mm-hmm. So what's a good man?
Okay, that's a good question. Well, you know, because I'm a pastor, all right?
Mm-hmm.
From a biblical perspective, a good man is a man who the Bible calls him, according, now this is my pastor point of view, and then I'm going to give you the social point of view, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says a good man is one who fears God. It says, blessed is the man who fears God and make the Lord his trust. A good man is a man who lines up under the authority of Jesus Christ. That's from the biblical perspective, and he gets his counsel from the Word of God. That's number one, who's been transformed within from a biblical perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second piece is, I think a good man is a man who, first of all, from a fatherly perspective, who owns up to his responsibility, who understands that he has a responsibility in his private life, his personal life, and his public life to do what he knows that's right. The private life, nobody knows but you and God. Nobody knows your inner thoughts. No one knows your heart in your private life. That good man try to own up morally, spiritually, and ethically to doing what's right. I didn't say he was flawed. I didn't say that he was not flawed or perfect, because he has flaws and failures, but he tries to do what's right in his private life. Secondly, he tries to do what's right in his personal life. That's him, his family, his children. He tries to make those right decisions to love God, love his family in his personal life. And then thirdly, that good man tries to do what's right in his public life. That's when he goes into the marketplace and goes into the workplace. Those principles that is instilled in him, he tries his best to work through them. And lastly, his professional life. That good man, he has those values. And whether he's a Christian or non-Christian, his goal is to do unto others as he would have them do unto him.
So Counselor Jackson, you do a lot of work. You do a lot of work. I mean, I commend you. I highly commend you on all of the work that you do, and that you're out there with your sleeves rolled up. And I mean, you really work hard for your district. Where, what do you, how do we get off track? How have so many, and you know, Pastor Webster talked about the number of men and young boys who are in fatherless homes and things of that nature. How has it gotten so out of balance? Based on your observation, what do you see? What do you see?
A few things. A lot of people, you know, most elected officials won't say this, but I am of a religious, a Christian background. I would say we've got diverted from some spiritual foundation mm-hmm. as a people. Mm-hmm. I'll say that.
Okay.
Used to be if nobody took you to church, grandmama and them took you to church.
Grandmama and them did. They did. They did.
Yeah, so you had that in you growing up, and you could revert back to that when you got into hard times, and the moral compass was there. Just follow what I'm saying as now when you see things going on in the news. When we got in trouble, we cared about if my grandmother knew, found out, my mama knew. We cared whether who knew, Aunt Stella, Aunt May and them, Uncle Joe, what would happen if they found out if we did such and such. Just mm-hmm. think about that now.
Mm-hmm.
If does it seem like people care if I do this, who finds out?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just putting it out there. I'm not saying if it is true or not. Just mm-hmm. put it out there. Two, our community has been inundated with so much drugs.
Right.
They're making candy. Drugs look like candy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Number three, the gaps and disparities in education, in employment, in transportation. I can go on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the mindset change. There seems to be, not all, but it seems to be some sense of hopelessness that we have to change the mindset and that we matter individually to ourselves, individually to our families, and to our community, that we do matter.
Mm-hmm.
We have to regain that and let each and every one of us know, and we have to remind the next person, Tina, you matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
When you get up, and then you can see it in the suicide rate. Why is our suicide level so high? Hope has been lost.
Mm-hmm.
They need to know that they matter. If you leave this world tonight or in the morning, you kill yourself. You matter to somebody when you take your life.
Mm-hmm. But perhaps you didn't know it.
And you didn't know that.
Yeah, a lot of people did. You know, I often wonder where the expectation, you know, where it went that as a member of a community, as you said, Counselor Jackson, as a member of a family unit, as a member of a village, not only did you not want to disappoint everyone that you just listed there, but on an even deeper level, you're expected to do that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
See what I'm saying? You are. That's what is expected. Expected of you, and I'm not sure that in today's parenting that we instill that you are expected to represent us in a positive. You're expected to go somewhere and act like you got some sense. I mean, I don't know about y'all, but we went into the grocery store. My mother would tell us, "Don't get in there and act. Don't start clowning." I'm gonna tell you right now, don't ask for this and don't ask for that. These are your expectations of you. This is what is expected of you, and if you don't. You can sit there in the car. Or what, yeah. You know, and that's a very simple illustration.
Well, I won't say too much if I won't get reelected, but we expect everybody else to have the expectations but at home. And I'm going to
thank you. That's what I'm saying.
Right there.
Yeah.
The school better do it. The elected officials better do it.
Everybody except where it's supposed to be.
The community center better do it. Everybody better do what I expect you to do.
Yeah, and then, therefore, if you don't, I'm going to be upset with you because you're not doing
right.
what I should have been doing anyway.
Yeah.
And that, you know, the other thing that it used to be like, oh, you mad? Well, scratch your blank and get glad because I really don't care if you're mad. This is what you are going to do, and this is what is expected of you, and this is the way you're going to behave.
Yeah. And, Tina, let me say this to you and Council Lady Jackson. That's where the buck has to stop. You know, it starts in the home.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And as the family goes, so does the community. You see, mm-hmm. the problem
true.
Of the
That's
community
true.
Is the problem of home.
Ah.
And nobody mm-hmm. wants, you know, we act like we're afraid to say that. We blame a lot of things on everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
we have to first deal with the issues that are within.
Right.
Because we send our children, the problems of the school sometimes is the problem of the homes. Because we send our children to schools. And don't get me wrong, there's a lot of things that we have to put the responsibility on, and Councilor Jackson is very good with this, on lawmakers when we need to.
Right.
But you know that we had a lot of dysfunctions growing up in our homes, but our parents expected us to go to school, live with dignity, live with respect,
mm-hmm.
and even though the bar was low sometimes, we had to do it.
You had to do it, and I mean, I don't think that kids now are coming home and saying anything any different than kids, you know, back in my day, back in 19-nothing, and maybe y'all are younger, and what have you. I don't think that they're coming home saying this. I think what they're getting, however, is a different reaction. Because, you know, I would get a shrug shoulder. I don't care. You're not going there for somebody to like you or don't like you. You're going there to get what you need to get and then get out and go on and do what you're supposed to do. You see what I'm saying?
There are disparities, and we need that, but we need everybody. It's a village.
It is a village. There are disparities.
Everybody
that
comes together,
yes.
Elected officials, the home, the parents, the faith base,
mm-hmm.
The philanthropy, the corporations, everybody to come together, because when you miss one piece of it,
right.
It's like having a ship with mm-hmm. holes in it. It's mm-hmm. We're failing our kids at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And when you fail your kids, they grow up with trauma. So what we're seeing, you asked me that earlier, I'm going to come back and answer part of that. You're seeing men and adults now who've grown up, Miss Tina, with trauma.
Right.
So
wounded.
Around with
mm-hmm.
trauma filled.
Mm-hmm. Wounded.
And they can't give what they have.
They don't have. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hey, Dr. Webster and Counselor, we have a caller that wants to get in on this conversation. Brother Imhotep, go ahead. How are you?
Hello, Tina. Thanks for taking my call. And thank mm-hmm. you, Counselor Jackson and Pastor Webster, for taking my call. I'll be very brief here. I'm pretty good. I was a pretty good student in school and college and do a heck of a lot of reading and studying afterwards. And I just want to preface this by saying this is a book by Dr. Kenneth Clark. If you are familiar with him, he was the one who authored the Dahl test. Kenneth and Mamie Clark.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
he authored
mm-hmm.
Dahl
yes,
test.
Yes.
It's called Dark
mm-hmm.
Ghetto.
Yep.
And he has, it goes through the pathology of the ghetto. And
mm-hmm.
you can have, he prefaces by saying you can have 100% employment. You still may have certain pathologies.
Mm-hmm.
All of these pathologies they're not all either caused by one thing or they're not all solved by one
thing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, period. And so we must be careful when we just say, oh, it's this, or oh, it's mostly that,
mm-hmm.
or oh, it's mostly that. There is still socialization that does go on. I remember when I first left home
mm-hmm.
and I was going to join the Air Force and I was going down to Texas
mm-hmm.
with a variety of all kind of different young men from various places, Houston, Miami, L.A., you name it. We were all
mm-hmm.
from different places. And I had to learn quickly because you're gone. How to work my way through this country and this world, you know, and a lot of the teachings from Gary didn't apply there then. It was just on the job training.
Yeah.
And so,
mm-hmm.
you know, this on the job training that we have now is a lot more harsh than
mm-hmm.
the on the job training I even went through growing up in Gary.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I just want to make sure we understand that the village still was a part of it. I mean, we did something, Aunt Grandma or the neighbors across the street did say something. But most of the problem, if I had to pick one thing I would say that's a derelict that really hurts us, is the lack of empathy, sympathy, compassion, and tolerance that we have for one another. We had more of that towards one another at that time. Empathy, sympathy, compassion, and tolerance. There is just truly a lack of all four of those things. Now, even from mostly, look at adults. Look at the rallying against January 6th. Look at the going against mask mandates. Look at the banning of books. Those are being spearheaded by adults. So children are learning this from adults. I think the adults have lack of empathy, sympathy, compassion, and tolerance. And therefore, children have learned that over the last 20, 25 years, especially since the crack era, when it was, whatever, individualism, and I don't care about no one else. You know, so look, I would say if we can put those things back into our young people, into even adults. I mean, we got hardened adults out here, hardened people, and they're teaching young people to be hardened. So I know we always talk about let's help the children, let's help the children, but Minister Farrakhan and Judge O'Brown say maybe we need to look at trying to help a lot of these adults too.
Yeah.
Because who's teaching the children? Most of the time it's adults. And if they're hard and have that I don't give a care, you know, old school 90s rap mentality of no empathy, no sympathy, no compassion, no tolerance, then we're going to continue to see the same pathology going on.
Yeah.
And I'd like to hear your comments up there. Thank you.
Yeah, and you know what? We're going to take a quick break, and when we come right back, we'll get right back to you, Counselor and Dr. Webster, for your reaction and your comments. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Let's get back to the conversation. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby from Isaacs and Isaacs Injury Lawyers, WeWin.com Studios on AM 1310, 92.7, 95.1 FM, The Light.
And we're back with Community Connection. Our guest, the CEO of the Pathway Resource Center, who is also a City County Council District Representative representing District 14, Lakeisha Jackson, and Dr. Darrell K. Webster, Senior Pastor at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, here to tell us about a Father's Day dinner coming up. And, you know, as we typically do, we got off into a little bit of the importance. I think what we're discussing is the importance, the utmost importance of events like this and continuing with events like this. And right before we had to take a break, and I apologize because but it also gave you both a chance to respond. I apologize we had to take a break so quickly, but I had a caller that was saying that perhaps a lot of the energy should be spent on adults as well, because adults are a lot more obvious about how they feel, and kids are picking that up and emulating the behavior. So your reaction, and I'll start with you, Counselor Jackson.
Thank you, Tina. I think he made some very, thank you, caller. I think he made mm-hmm. some very valid points
here.
I was at a town hall meeting maybe about 3-4 years ago, and someone made the same point, and what he was saying, he asked me, how do you get people to love and love people or change the mindset? No, he said, how do you change people's mindset? That was the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, if I could get people to love people, then you could get this resolved. If you can get people to love people, because love is one of the things how you ask the word and how you can resolve a lot of things.
Absolutely.
And he looked at me, he was like, oh, you know, because how do you show compassion? How do you get people... Everything the caller said. How do you get people to do those things? And that is, and that's what I'm. One of the things I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
It is a mindset change. So how do we change mindsets? And that's one of the things that Pastor Webster covers in his boot camp. And so, and we also cover at Pathway Resource Center mindset change and mentality change. But I think that is a focus. I think people are hurting, but hardened. But that comes from the conditions of where we're at, too.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's just going to be one thing. I think we've got so many things going on, but that is true. And I think you have these people teaching our kids or surrounded by our kids that have hardened them, and now they have, I think, taken on some of that. But that's the importance of home again.
Mm-hmm.
It still drills back to home, because if they are experiencing that, it's still what are we showing at home, and what is the village giving back to them?
Yeah, and
for that great comment.
Yeah, and again, and you make a really good point. And home, you can have a very good home, but even if you have a very good home, very focused, very directed home, and Dr. Webster can attest to this as well, home has to compete with popular culture. Home has to compete with music. Home has to compete with peers who may be coming from different homes. So home has to be kind of like a fortress, if you will, a super place almost, because of so many competing factors that can get the ears of these young people.
Yeah, Tina, you and Council Lady Jackson, you're spot on it. And I do appreciate the last caller who called in.
Uh-huh.
Let me say a few things about that. First of all, you know, our problems, again, you know, and I love what he said, we have to sympathize.
Uh-huh.
We have to empathize with people. But one of the things I deal with fathers, boys, and in the prisons, a lot of people don't even love themselves.
Yeah, well.
So you can't give folk what you don't have. Our community, whether it's movies, media, music, we're inundated and programmed with a lot of negative stuff that feeds into our emotional, psychological, psychic.
Right.
And so when I deal with the men and the boys, that's why I think it's not an either or approach. It's both and.
Yes.
We go after the fathers, but we're also in the community mentoring the sons who are at risk. Now, let me say, you know, we all have to understand that the mental health issue, the trauma issue that people didn't talk about years ago, because all of us kind of deal with some sort of trauma and mental health. In the second grade, Tina, because my father was an alcoholic the biggest of his life, this speaks to the parenting issue. I would go to school and act out what I would see at my in my home.
Okay.
But then my teacher told my mom to send me to see a psychologist. But my mom was a stable Christian woman. And she knew that even though I was dealing with adverse trauma and I had these wounds, she would stabilize me when I got home to say, son, I know this is what's going on. And I understand what the teacher was saying, but I need you to understand that I still expect you to have morals, values, and what I instilled in you. And she spent time with me instilling those things. In fact, she had 15 children, and 13 of us lived. And the majority of us are boys. But it's back to the home again, even though I was beat up, tortured, had to deal with peer pressure, she helped stabilize me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, fast forward. Most fathers, let me just say on fathers, since we're dealing with Father's Day, we have to have safe places that add value to us to show us how to work through these complex issues. I spoke in Washington, D.C. 2 weeks ago at a conference, and when I got done speaking, I had men just getting up talking about the trauma that's in their lives because they really never had a place to talk about it. And if they had a place to talk about it, they either faked at it because everybody's doing well. They either tried to run away from it or either they faced it. So what I want to say is that, yes, I do agree with the caller. We got to show empathy, emphasize, and we got to show sympathy.
Mm-hmm.
But got to get through the problems that's within, and those problems that's within is those unresolved issues that we have not dealt with and faced as a male.
Indeed.
So, counselor and Dr. Webster, what progress, or you know, when you have events like this and you look back on them, say for instance, you know, last year or 2 years ago, 3 years, what can you show and what can you share in terms of, you know, let's be on the positive side, what are some of the positive things that have come about as a result of these? Because I know that they have to be some positive results or you wouldn't keep having them.
Oh, wow. Let me speak first to Keisha, or you want to go first? Because
okay.
I got tons of them.
Okay.
No, you go ahead, Pastor. This is all you.
Okay. So we've been doing this, Tina, for at least 17 years, only two years in the housing with Council Lady Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
But you just heard Kurt Moore. We were on your show.
Last week.
Last week. Yesterday we were in the park and we probably had about 100 guys with us.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the positive and social workers would call it metrics or measurable outcomes.
Okay.
We've had guys to deal with, number one, their addictions, and now they have 5 to 10 year sobriety. Number two, we've had guys who came in wounded, but now they are getting the proper care of mental health care, the trauma care, and now they're going into the schools mentoring. We've had guys now who become caseworkers at transitional houses because they, listen, dealt with the issues that were within, and they're giving back. Most importantly, we've had guys who reconnected with their sons, their daughters, and their wives. And when social workers come to measure us, we can measure and give them measurable outcomes, not just an event. And I don't like calling it events. We say we don't do events. We do lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
We help change lifestyles, and we got the data to prove it.
Wow. And Counselor Jackson, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I've seen by doing these types of programs and trainings is the escalation or levels that it takes them to, and their men are normally the head and of the families or who we look at in our communities.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll give you an example. We start off, they'll come to an example of food distribution. I've seen them come from a food, you know, men are prideful. Most people are prideful, but they come to the food distribution. Next thing I've seen them at a resume development workshop. I've gone from seeing them at a resume development workshop, coming to a employment job training,
mm-hmm.
and getting those skills and saying, hey, you guys are truly helping us, to actually seeking employment and getting the employment skills and actually going after a job for stabilization of employment. And so, again, that mindset change, again, like the caller said, compassion, showing people you care, and those skills. Because guess what? What they saw doing all that, and what the pastor said, the same thing, you know, we show that we care. We show it's hope. So in consistency, if you show a person, one thing that consistency shows is you care. If I'm consistent with you, Tina,
mm-hmm.
you at least you believe that the belief is there is that I care.
I like that. Yeah, consistency. Okay, yeah.
Consistency. So that's the first thing we do.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing of it is we provide something of need or value to them. They select it. We offer several things, and then hopefully whatever that is able to elevate them as an individual and be able to do something within their home and or community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And provide some type of sustainability or stabilization.
Yeah.
Whether that's mental, was that physical, is that housing, is that transportation, is that getting a job for other things? Like the caller said, he was right on the money. One thing doesn't preclude or solve anything.
No.
But there are things that can help in an individual's life to help stabilize and sustain them.
Ooh, there's a lot packed into this. This is more, like you said, Pastor, this is more than an event. And like you said, Counselor, a lot more than an event. It's an outreach. It's a mission.
Yeah.
It's a calling.
Yeah.
We're not
changing lives. That's what we're transformation lives is what we are.
Yeah. And let me say this real quickly to Tina. Mm-hmm. And you can't do that without building relationships.
Relationship building is everything, yeah.
Yeah, you can't do it with just drive-by.
No.
I tell people...
Well, that goes back to the counselor's comment and explanation of consistency. Consistency builds relationships as well.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And what the men need is more affirmation, you know, because one of the things, I mean, a lot of men, and I've been doing this for a long time, they lack affirmation. That's, again, why we're in the public housing doing this. We're trying to reach guys who may not come to church, but to say to them, hey, you matter.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that you, not only do you matter, we want to lift you, love you, help you to learn, and then lead you to real life change.
Yeah.
And that's a process.
And that's a pretty heavy lift just in our society in general. And if we, you know, you can take out the black, white part of it and just get to the gender portion of it, women/men in general. I mean, and it's no clearer than on Mother's Day, try to find a restaurant to eat. On Father's Day, you can drive a truck through a couple of restaurants.
Absolutely.
And
nobody, I tell the guys, so we'll do a camp on Wednesday night just for the general men and population.
Mm-hmm.
On Thursday night, this is why we go where they are. We were just in Carriage House East, right, Lakeisha?
Yes, sir, on Saturday.
We were just past
Saturday.
Carriage House East on Saturday. So we go, you know what I mean,
mm-hmm.
where the guys are,
mm-hmm.
and we offer them, not events, because after they leave there, if they want to be lifted, if they want to learn, if they want accountability,
mm-hmm.
we will put them with coaches
mm-hmm.
who've been there, done that, and can help them to get to that next level. Mm-hmm. Father's Day, nobody really celebrate me.
Yeah. And has it been your experience that most men want to do better, just don't know how to do better?
Absolutely.
A lot of those that you're talking about, not most.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
A lot of them want to do better, just don't know what better is.
Yeah, and they don't
either better is or just don't know how to receive it. They just don't know the help. They want support. They need support.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a quote that says, you can't give what you do not have.
Right, yeah.
And then I have another quote that says, growth doesn't just happen to a man. He must be intentional. Now, think about this. I see these guys at 5:45 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
We don't serve coffee, donuts. Some of the things that I do with my character development classes, we don't serve coffee or donuts. They're there because they want to do better.
Mm-hmm. Want to be better, just need to know how
and
to.
And, Ms. Tina, I want to say one thing.
Okay, go
mention,
ahead.
You talked about that. We didn't mention color one time.
No, we didn't, did we?
No, I didn't mention, when I talked about this program, I didn't mention color one time.
Nope. Nope.
We talked about fathers and sons.
Absolutely. Yeah, we did. But, you know, a lot of times when this subject matter comes up, a lot of people do break it down to the African-American family.
Yeah.
But you're right, Counselor Jackson, fathers and sons, because this is far more far-reaching than color barriers.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So whoever's going through, who's in need of support, who wants to be a better father,
mm-hmm.
a better man, we want fathers investing in our sons. That's across the board. Because mm-hmm. at this point, it's touching every community, every neighborhood. And if
Absolutely.
That's you and you can help reach one, touch one, you can touch one, reach one, mm-hmm. we want you to help us.
Mm-hmm.
This Indeed. Is a village thing at this point.
Yeah.
And so a village takes many. And so that's what our message is for this Thursday, June 16th, 6 o'clock. Register today. And I'm reaching out to the women. Women, do your part for Father's Day. Online.
Yeah, yeah.
Pathway Indy, PATHWAY Indy, INDY.org. And register your love mail. Whether he's your fiancé, your live-in boyfriend, your husband, soon-to-be fiancé, you praying for him to be your fiancé mm-hmm. or husband. Whatever he is to you, and you want him to invest in your family, register him. I'm telling you, it's the best prayer. It's the best time, 30 seconds you will take in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Register him and your son, or register just him. If y'all don't have a son or a nephew or somebody so he could bring with him, register him.
Yeah.
PathwayIndy.org. You'll see the flyer. It'll tell you what it's about, and you'll see the register button. It takes 30 seconds.
And Counselor Jackson, pardon my manners, but Pathway Resource Center, explain to our listeners who may not necessarily be familiar with it what you all do. You are the CEO. What does Pathway do?
Pathway's been around for 20 years. We just celebrated 20 years, and we are a not-for-profit 501c3. We're grassroots. That means we're where the people are. We're located on the far east side of Indianapolis at 36th Street, 36th and Mehoffer, across from the finish line. And what we do, we provide training and resources that promote resident self-sufficiency while bridging the digital divide to promote resident self-sufficiency and services while decreasing welfare mm-hmm. dependency and crime. It's that simple. So family strengthening, youth development, community resources, technology building, anything around the family and community, anything promoting advocacy for youth, family, and seniors, and individuals, that's what we do. 317-890-9817 is our number.
And your website?
Support or help.
Yeah, and your website?
PathwayIndy.org. PathwayIndy.org.
Now, how many people or how many places can you accommodate coming up on Thursday?
100.
100. So are you getting close? Are you telling people to get registered now because you're going to cut it off at 100, right?
Yes, ma'am. We're telling people to get registered now because we're cutting off at 100.
And what about COVID? Mask, non-mask? What's going to be the COVID protocol?
So we're going to give a mask at the door, but while they're eating and stuff, they don't have to have mask on.
Oh, okay. Sounds fair. Sounds fair to me. And again, this is the Father's Day dinner, a catered dinner, free raffles, vendors. All participants are going to receive, and I'm reading right here, a gift card and a certification of completion. So, yeah,
that's registered. That's if they're registered.
If they're registered
up on the spot,
okay,
they may not receive a gift card because we got to purchase this stuff in advance.
Yeah, okay.
So that's why we're asking people to register. So the food, the everything, we have to have people register so you can get your goodies.
Yeah, you got to know how much food to have. If nothing more, you got to know how much to feed everybody.
Yes, ma'am.
Indeed. Okay, well, before I let you go, and you all have been very generous because you've stayed a lot longer than what we thought you were, but I appreciate the conversation was good. It was great. It was important. We have one last caller, and then we're going to let you go. Mayhem, you have a question for our panel. Quickly, go ahead.
Yes. I want to ask you something. This is very diverse, a lot of Spanish and Haitians. Why is it this percentage of black men or people having this problem? Why is it that everybody else can come here and rise up? I mean, out east would be dead if it weren't for the Hispanics and the Africans got their own store.
So your observations and that is your observation and your opinion. You want to ask our panel.
That's the truth. The councilman can back it up for me. Thank
well,
you.
It's your,
I'll take it off the air.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, well, I'll let our guests determine truth. But anyway, go ahead. The experts determine the truth. So go ahead, Pastor or Counselor or both of you.
I missed his question. Can you repeat that?
Yeah, he was going back and forth, and he was saying, "Why is this a distinctly, you know, fatherhood dysfunction, so to speak, distinctly a black problem? Why can Africans and Hispanics come here and they can function fully as fathers? And if it wasn't for the Hispanics, there would be no East Side or what have you." And I said, "Well, you know, that's an opinion." And he said, "No, that's a fact." And that's why I said, "No, we'll let our experts determine the facts based on your question." So his question is, why does this appear to be? Or he said, why is this a distinctly a black problem? I'm going to rephrase it. Why does it appear to be distinctly a black problem? Because I just don't think it is just black.
Yeah, I won't put that. If you pull up data, I won't pull that out.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look up the data of the East Side or the Far East Side,
yeah.
It's very diverse. We focus on the we focus on the Far East Side because we want to remove the issues of some of the violent crime that's going on.
Yes, yes.
That is on the Far mm-hmm. East Side, but it's in specific areas on the Far East Side. So if you pull up the data yourself, go pull up the data of the Far East Side, you have people that are college, went to college, own homes. So the Far East Side has got a very bad name. All of Far East Side is not bad.
Mm-hmm.
It has gotten a stereotype name because of the targeted areas within the Far East Side and partners like Pathway Emmanuel and the City of Indianapolis mm-hmm. are working together with law enforcement and other partners throughout the city to remove so that people don't have to be exposed mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. the high levels of crime that's
right.
going on. And I won't necessarily say that it's all black men if you pull up the data.
Right.
You could pull up the data from law enforcement mm-hmm. yourself.
Yeah. And that's why I defer to you all. I mean, I know in my head that was a false and misleading statement.
Right.
Because family dysfunction, fatherhood dysfunction, motherhood dysfunction is something that cuts across all paths.
Yes.
It's just that where our lanes are. You know, this is who we serve. This is who
Absolutely.
We service. And so this is what we're concerned about. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's an inherently African-American black men problem, although we have problems of our own. I cannot say that it's just us. And I think it's very misleading and disingenuous to suggest that it is. So, but
Tina, can I say this real quickly? I know you got to go. I agree. I concur. The data proves that fatherlessness, it's a national problem.
Absolutely.
It's not just one race problem. It's a national problem. Mm-hmm. And as Council Lady Jackson said, the data
Yeah, but when you tend to look at situations with blinders on, that's typically what you tend to see. You don't see anything else. I mean, if you just look at something with the blinders. And
right.
And I'm so grateful for you and the counselor and others who are taking those blinders off and saying, hey, you know, this is what we got to do. And Counselor made a really good point earlier that she never once mentioned black. So, I appreciate that. Anyway, thank you both so, so very much. Ethan's got this on our social media, on our website. You can go to praiseindy.com and find out all about the Father's Day dinner. Reservations are filling up fast. You must be registered to attend, but there is still time to register. And, Counselor, where again can they register? What's the website?
Pathwayindy.org.
Thank you both for being here. I appreciate all of your time. And congratulations and good luck with the event. And keep on doing what you're doing. We really appreciate it. The community needs you all. So thank you so
much.
Thank
you, Tina, for being a gracious host. We appreciate it.
Thank you,
Tina. It's reciprocal.
Thank you. And again, that's City County Councilor Lakeisha Jackson. She represents City County Council District 14. And she is also the CEO of Pathway. The Pathway Resource Center. I was getting ready to say pathwayindy.org. That's the website, Pathway Resource Center. And, of course, Dr. Daryl K. Webster, Senior Pastor at Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church, who is very involved in our community with our young men, his boot camp. They are they're collaborating along with several other community organizations on this Father's Day dinner. It's called Fathers Investing in Our Sons Comeback Boot Camp. Catered dinner, free raffles, resource vendors. It's going to be at the Amberwoods Clubhouse on John Jay Drive, 10202 John Jay Drive, 6 to 7:30, June 16th. That's this Thursday. You can register. You must register to attend. And you can register at pathwayindy.org. And if you want to call, you know, for more information, 317-890-9817. And again, special guest Ryan Mears, City County Prosecutor, Counselor Lakeisha Jackson, and keynote speaker, Pastor Dr. Daryl K. Webster. We'll be back with more Community Connection. I want to take a quick look back at the second hearing, the second of those Donald Trump involvement insurrection hearings. Man, they are getting serious. They are getting deep. I tell you what, today, I dropped my jaw a little bit. I'm like, what? Anyway, we're going to talk about that for a bit. We'll be right back with more Community Connection right after this.
WTOC AM, W224 DI, W236 CR, Indianapolis. It's time to discuss the important topics happening in and around Indy. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby, brought to you by Child Advocates. Your voice, their future. On AM 1310, 92.7, 95.1 FM, The Light.
And we're back with Community Connection. As I was saying earlier in the show, we have a few minutes right now to open the lines and talk a little bit about today's second set of January 6th hearings. 317-239-1310 or tweet us at Community Indy. This time, testimony started during the day, early this morning. Well, not early, late this morning, actually, about 10 a.m. The first hearing, of course, was held last Thursday during primetime. The January 6th Select Committee is looking into Donald Trump's involvement in that deadly attack on the Capitol. So this morning, the Select Committee members presented testimony outlining how Donald Trump lost the election, how he knew he lost the election, and how he decided anyway to wage that attack by sending that violent mob to the Capitol. And right toward the end of the hearing today, talked about how not only did he know and knew for a long time and passed deadlines and all kinds of other stuff and lost in court over 60 times, he still continued to push the lie and fundraised off of the lie to the point of $250 million that he said was for election fraud, and according to the committee, did not go, one penny did not go to election fraud or legal fees. So in small dollar amounts, all of these Trump enthusiasts, these Trump loyalists, these Trump all of these Trump people that were pouring money into this account to help with election fraud got grifted. They took $250 million. Now that's, maybe to some not a whole lot, but I tell you what, that's what Trump was able to fundraise off of the big lie that there was election fraud after he had known for weeks, months at a time, and been told time after time after time by expert after expert after expert, and have court case after court case after court case, judge after judge after judge, no election fraud. He did not win the election. Things of that nature. They said he continued to send out tweets trying to raise money off this lie all the way up to 30 minutes before the insurrection. Just a whole lot of stuff that they had packed into that. He decided to wage that attack. You know, he had raised his $250 million. He knew that he had lost. He knew that it was bogus, and he decided to send everybody up to the Capitol anyway. So not only did he decide to send the mob up there to tear everything down and to get him back in office, he continued to raise money off of a lie. So he had folks fighting and killing over a lie, and he had folks padding his pockets over a lie. And all of that was unveiled today in that hearing. Some of the other revelations, like I said, Trump was told numerous times he lost. He was told numerous times not to claim victory. He continued to make the claims of voter fraud, regardless of what was told and regardless of what the facts showed. They said on election night, the only aide that he would listen to on election night was Rudy Giuliani, who was drunk as a skunk. A drunken Rudy. And here's the thing. Despite all of that, and I can't get it all in the amount of time that we have, but despite all of that, committee members said today they have more evidence that they can reasonably be shared. They have more evidence, more evidence that can reasonably be shared in one hearing, but they will do what needs to be done. So they have so much more than what they could share in the hearing today. They got to move on to something else. So what they're saying is there's so much crap on this particular subject, and I understand it's a seven-part presentation, but just in this area alone, they had too much to get into one hearing, but they just hit the highlights, the most important part. The committee is asserting he acted illegally, regardless of the facts and regardless of the truth, and to serve his own purposes, both financially and egotistically. So here's the question everyone's asking. Will what they are presenting be enough, I almost feel silly saying this, be enough to criminally charge Donald Trump? Frankly, I thought there was enough after the first hour of the first hearing last Thursday, but I'm not an attorney or any kind of legal expert. But based on what you see on social media and what you hear in general conversations, people are becoming impatient. And to a degree, they remain somewhat skeptical that anything is going to come out of all of this, that any of it result in any kind of criminal charges being filed against Donald Trump. But I will tell you, with each passing hearing, I don't know. It seems like it's going to be harder and harder and harder for the DOJ to turn their head and not do something. This stuff appears to be criminal beyond a reasonable doubt. You say guilty or innocent, whatever, beyond a reasonable doubt. This stuff appears to be criminal enough to slap the handcuffs on somebody, regardless of who that somebody is. Whether or not we believe in the end that Donald Trump will be criminally charged, I don't know. But I tell you what, too many more hearings like the first and second one. Anyway, if you want to, yeah, we got a few minutes. Go ahead, Jeff. Go ahead. How are you? Did you hear did you listen to the hearings this morning?
Oh, yeah. I saw it on Thursday night and Monday and today.
Yeah. I thought Thursday was a blockbuster. Today was unbelievable.
Yeah. And it just keeps, the momentum just keeps building and building.
Mm-hmm. It's getting worse and worse.
I just think we should have seen the tip of the iceberg.
I think so too. I think because they've got they got five more, and they said they couldn't get everything in today. Today was just one area. You know, he lost and how he proceeded illegally anyway after he lost. So that was what they were presenting today. They had so much more evidence to clear that up.
Sure.
And everybody that testified today were all Trump loyalists. These were people.
It was his inner circle.
These were people who would, you know, go to the mats for him. And they had to jump ship because they couldn't believe it.
It's something that's called self-preservation. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah.
I'm not going down with you, man, you know, with this nonsense. No. I mean, when your daughter and your attorney general said, man, you ain't got nothing to stand on, man.
The thing, though, Jeff, and this is what gets me, to keep on. I mean, to have the ability to raise $250 million.
That's a big grift.
That's the grift. That's the ripoff. You all who have been contributing to Donald Trump, you all who have been listening to him, believing him, have been hoodwinked. You have been
bamboozled.
Bamboozled like there's no tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, and that's all it was. When you knew for him, it was a win-win. So, okay, I'm gonna have him tear the Capitol up, and yet I'm gonna make money off of these bozos.
That was the bigger driver.
And another thing, Gene, if there's any Proud Boys out there, if there's any 3%ers out there, if there's any Oath Keepers out there, hey, you guys didn't do a white supremacy a favor. I mean, you guys been duped. You guys been hustled.
They have been hustled, duped, bamboozled. Every word you can think of, every Trump supporter, that boy, did they explode. They showed these folks, you know, if I'd have been contributing, I'd be mad as I don't know what right now.
It is a cult,
but their money has gone to nothing but Donald Trump's pocket, left and right.
There's something else that Dion always emphasized. You know, the Democrats are playing checkers and the Republicans are playing chess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, quiet as kept. There are some Republicans who want Donald Trump gone. You know that.
Well, they're not brave enough to say it. But here's the thing.
They're not brave enough to do so. They want the Democrats to do the dirty work and get Donald Trump out of business so Republicans can say, we didn't like Trump. You know, I didn't vote for him, you know. But, you know, look at inflation and Joe Biden and all this. So, I mean, Democrats got to, you know, keep their eye on Trump because the GOP cowards as they are, and I said it, Mike Braun.
Here's the thing, Jeff. After Thursday and then after today, there's no turning back.
There's no turning back.
And you can say that, I mean, the Democrats and that bipartisan committee with Cheney, they are presenting one heck of a case. And I don't know. It's not a trial. It's not a criminal trial. It's just the, you know, revelation of an investigation.
And the rest of this is up to Merrick Garland. But, you know, get back to Rudolph Giuliani. This man has went from America's mayor to a grifter. Just a nickel and dime grifter.
There are those who would argue he's always been that. But, you know, more prolific. I mean, those who lived in New York will tell you he's always been that way.
He lost his right to practice law in New York State.
Lost his law.
And D.C. saying that you can't practice law in a city in the nation's capital anymore.
Yeah.
So this guy, I mean, why would people want to throw their careers with their life? People like William Barr.
Barr's career, his legacy and his... Yeah, his legacy and career
like
is gone. Yeah.
Why would you want to throw that away?
Well, they did. And they, you know, because they... But, you know, whatever Barr did, so, I mean, you know, good for you. But guess what? You're tainted as well because...
Exactly. You know. My point, Gina. And did you hear this thing about happening in Idaho over the weekend?
Yes. They wanted to... A U-Haul van load full of them.
Yeah, right. With the white supremacists. Now they're saying... Now, Donald Trump is... I don't know if you heard anything or James or did. They said if Donald Trump is handcuffed, the white supremacists are going to come after black folks and Hispanics and Asians. I'm just saying, hey, bring it.
I when these hearings first started, I was really skeptical, and I've only heard.
I was
very skeptical, but I've only heard two. And I tell you what, if the remaining five are even half as explosive as the first two have been, he's getting charged. He's getting indicted.
He has to. There's no way around that. This is not only so much the Capitol riot,
but the grifting, you know, just ripping these people off. And I heard another pundit said that this is worse than Watergate and Iran-Contra.
Combined. And combined, Benghazi and all that other stuff.
I mean, you had a president breaking into people's house with Iran-Contra bringing in drugs in the country to fund a war. Mm-hmm. Well, you had a sitting president wanting to overthrow the government and disrespect the Constitution. You know?
And make millions off of it in the process.
And make money. And to make money. And the sad part about it, you know, I'm going to go, I'll hang up with this. You got some black Republicans here in this city. You know who they are, Gina. A couple of them work for that network, that station you work with. You know, they're in, you know, they ought to be ashamed of themselves. You know, because they're, you know, they all play into the grift. You know, they thought Donald Trump was going to buy them mega churches and all that old stuff. I ain't taking nothing back. I said it. And they ought to be these black church Republicans, these handkerchief heads ought to be ashamed of it. You align yourself with white supremacists and hustlers.
Yeah.
Have a nice day, Tina.
You too, Jeff. And there's like I said, there's just simply no turning back from this. This information is the revelation of what the findings of this committee have just been absolutely stunning. Absolutely stunning. And like I was saying and telling Jeff, the $250 million alone that he fundraised off of telling the lie day in and day out, the $250 million alone should have him thrown in jail, if nothing else. If for nothing else should have him, you know, indicted, he should be indicted on that. I mean, what bigger grift or fraud is there than that? And so it goes. But, wow. You guys stay, stay up on that. Pay attention because I believe there's another one coming up. Let me have the schedule. I believe it's Thursday. It's Thursday. Another one. Ha, 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 ha. Here we go. Community Love Fest. Anyway, when I find it, I'll get it to you. I don't want to say the wrong thing. Because I don't want to not have the information right here in front of me. But, aha, I had to watch the January 6th amendment. One of the hearings, dates, and times. Okay, here we go. Monday. On Wednesday, it will detail how Trump corruptly planned. Okay, so here we go. Here's the schedule. Monday, the committee members will share how they think Trump tried to steal the election, though he knew he had lost, which they did today. On Wednesday, it's going to detail how Trump corruptly planned to replace top Justice Department officials with his own allies so that he could get his way. And later, the committee is going to spend a significant amount of time on the pressure Trump and his allies put on Vice President Mike Pence to overturn the results on January 6th. And in its final June hearings, the committee will revisit Trump's actions the day of the attack. The committee has accused him of having summoned right-wing groups to attack the Capitol, then resisting by calling his allies and family to tell the attackers to go home. Resisted calls by his allies and families and how he resisted calls. It says another major question to watch for. Will the committee conclude that Trump committed a crime by intentionally trying to stop Congress's certification in Thursday? So Thursday is a prime time here. Okay, I was right, Thursday. So Wednesday is another morning, and then Thursday will be prime. Wait a minute. No, wait a minute. And Thursday's prime time. Cheney repeatedly used the term corrupt. Oh, no, there's not. Okay. This Wednesday and then later on. So we know the very next one is coming up Wednesday. I'll get the correct information in a little bit. Ethan, let's take a quick and give our guest a little chance to get here with the Indiana State Department of Health. We'll be right back with more Community Connection right after this.
Let's get back to the conversation. It's Community Connection with Tina Cosby from Isaacs and Isaacs Injury Lawyers, WeWin.com Studios on AM 1310, 92.7, 95.1 FM, The Light.
And we're back with Community Connection. Our next guest is Antoinette Holt, Director of the Indiana State Department of Health's Office of Minority Health. And if Antoinette is here around this time of the year, it must be time for the annual Black and Minority Health Fair at IBE Summer Celebration within the next couple of weeks or so. Anyway, Antoinette, hi. Welcome back to Community Connection. How are you?
I'm good, Tina. How are you?
I am doing quite well. Thank you, Yankee.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year. We haven't said, you know what? I don't think we have spoken since the clock changed in the strike of midnight. Yeah. Okay. Well, here we go again. Which number is this one?
This is the 36 years, even though it's really 37. We had to, you know, because of 2020.
Yeah.
We didn't have one, but it's the 36th opportunity chance that we have years for the Indiana Black and Minority Health Fair. We are so grateful for the opportunity to do it once again, and our sponsors and everyone that helps us, and, of course, you, Tina, that comes out and whatever we ask you do. So we're just excited. We have our screenings again, over $2,500 worth of free health screenings.
Well, you better, you know what, with prices the way they are now, you better kick that up to $3,500.
I'm
serious.
I got to see, probably do another analysis in regards to where we're at now.
Yeah. I mean, I said it jokingly, but it's got to be, the value has to be a lot higher than that.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely higher, and we're so grateful for all those vendors, exhibitors, sponsors that come out, try to provide. This is all you do, but it's an opportunity to know your numbers. It's an opportunity just to be able, and it's where you can do a one-stop shop. So you can have your family. We're going to have sports physicals this year. We're going to do a panel. The panel series awesome last year, but we're going to do one this year. Again, addressing mental health, we're going to talk about caregivers because, you know, we have so many people now that are becoming caregivers for different reasons, not just for our older, our seniors, but for, you know, all ages. We're going to have one in regards to a lot of people are asking about clinical trials and testing, research, what the point is of us being part of that and trying to dismay myths or concerns of things that have happened in the past.
Yeah.
So that is just inclusive of everything else. We're going to bring back the self-care area. I know folks love those massages. We're going to make sure that you leave empowered and just an opportunity, again, to just address the concerns of, you know, different populations that are specifically experiencing more health disparities.
Yeah. And I love the title Black and Minority because while the health fair addresses an array and screens for an array of diseases and conditions, the diseases and conditions that are there year in and year out are those that typically affect Black and minorities in larger numbers.
Yes. And so, you know, again, we want to address those populations that are underserved or access is an issue. So we're committed to be fit. That's by the way, that's our theme is you're committed to be fit for the 2022 Indiana Black Minority Health Fair.
Is that what's on the t-shirts this year?
Commit to be fit, of course.
Oh, well, save me one if you have any left over.
All right, I'm going to save you one because I love it, you.
No. Thank you so very much. Commit to be fit. So what, the dates are July 14th through the 17th, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am, July 14th through the 17th. We are doing our senior transportation again this year, thanks to FSSA, and they're working with FCOA, and even Indigo is becoming to be a part of a partner in the taxi service. So I have that information for you.
And now is that just going to be one day, or is that going to be for a couple of days?
That's going to be just that Thursday.
Just senior day, okay.
Yes, yeah, this senior day. And everybody's welcome Thursday. It's our opening ceremony. So even though we're catering to seniors, because sometimes, you know, when we have the full extent of the Black Expo experience, it can be a little bit overwhelming, or if you need to take a little bit more time and different things like that. Here's where we have that option. So we're offering transportation for our seniors and those with disabilities. And if you want to reach 317-232-1731, you have to register before June the 30th.
Before June the 30th?
Yeah, or by June 30th.
Okay, so that doesn't give everybody a whole lot. 317-232-1731, is that the number?
Yes, ma'am. 317-232-1731, Patty Bailey. Who you'll get when you call that number. And I can leave.
Ethan will get that. He's nodding. He's going to make sure we have it.
That's because.
Oh, it's all posted. All right. It's posted on social, across all of our socials right now.
Yeah, if I saw Ethan, I would give him a head dap. He's all right with me.
I'm telling you, yeah.
I haven't seen him in a while.
Yeah, Ethan's the man, I tell you. He keeps us on our toes. So Antoinette, The hours, any kind of a COVID protocol that we're going to be making people aware of, you know, what are some of the extra or in the finer points of attending and participating
we
this year?
We are in Halls J&K.
Halls J&K.
So we don't have the big, big space we had last year, but we're in Halls J&K. It's still big, 74,000 square feet.
Mm-hmm.
We, again, our protocol in regards to masking is optional, but we want to make sure that if you are experiencing things or whatever, that you are masked up. I'm still wearing masks everywhere I go.
Mm-hmm.
Then we will be having COVID vaccinations. We're working on doing adolescent immunizations,
mm-hmm.
Some adult immunizations, because, again, we want this to be a place where you can get everything. So if you brought the family and your son or daughter needed a the sports physical,
mm-hmm.
and while you're there, you can check your numbers. And so, you know, glucose, A1C, thyroid, creatinine. They do a full lipid panel for cholesterol. Mm-hmm. All these different things that you can do, HIV testing, hep C testing. Again, you'll have people that will be doing vision, dental, just all these different things that we do. And, again, we will make a clinical breast exam. I want to make sure that that's important. We'll have that there. I believe we're going to have opportunity for mammograms from Ascension. So there's a lot of different things that's going to happen. We're grateful for Lilly's going to be there, Community Health Network. Just a lot of folks that are helping us to be able to bring this to everybody. And so I encourage people, you know, take time out. I think it's worth the investment. Coming downtown, going through Halls J&K, making sure that you get your free health screenings and your education.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just great. You've been doing it with us for years, so you
yeah.
know.
So do you have any special guests this year? I know that the last couple of years we've had to, you know, back away from that sort of thing. Any special guest appearances by anybody, or are you still waiting to meet?
We may have a special local star.
Okay.
I may have to put you on the stage and be like, Tina.
I'll introduce somebody.
You know, Tina, I can get your autograph anytime and different things like that. But we are working on it. You're right. You know, just because so much has changed over the years, well, once upon a time, you used to get the big name. So we're working on it, hopefully. So still come out. And see us and take your time, go through the exhibits, different things. We're going to do COVID testing, vaccination. And, you know, again, let me also say, Tina, for the sports physicals, we have certain times. So Friday, 4 to 6, and Saturday, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. That would be the times for sports physicals, first come, first serve, for that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it sounds like everything is somewhat back to normal, in terms of what we've come to expect over 30 some years, minus the interruption.
We're getting back to it, and we encourage, because you had a lot of people last year, it's like, well, maybe I'll try it this year. This is your year to come out. This is your year and opportunity
mm-hmm.
to just come be a part and experience the health fair.
Mm-hmm.
It is a large event, and I'm grateful that as the Department of Health, or just even as an individual, that you get to touch so many lives and make impact, you know,
mm-hmm.
as far as their livelihood or just encouraging. You know, people have found out they had high blood pressure. People have found different things in regards
yeah.
to PSA tests or whatever mm-hmm. that prompted them to go ahead and get checked before it further in stage or different things like that. So the health fair is truly a great event that benefits everyone.
It's a lifesaver. And I tell you what, we're gonna let you go right now, because I know you just came out of a meeting and have to probably another one to go into. But we'll check back in with you in the next couple of weeks or so to find out what the latest.
I look forward to being with you again. I can't wait to see you in touch and give you a high five.
Okay. Sounds like a plan to me, Antoinette. All right.
Thank you so much, Tina. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You be well.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And again, that was Antoinette Holt, director of the Indiana State Department of Health Office of Minority Health. And she is here, of course, or was here, to kind of get a little bit of running head start about the upcoming Black and Minority Health Fair that's going to be in Halls J&K this year at IBE Summer Celebration, July 14th through the 17th, down at the Indiana Convention Center. Antoinette's going to be back to give us some more updates as time inches ever so closely to the start of the health fair and the start of summer celebration. Time now for Julia Vaughn. Julia, of course, is the Executive Director of Common Cause Indiana. She visits with us once a week at this time, and we are happy to have you back. How are you doing today, Julia?
I'm doing okay, Tina. Staying inside, staying cool. How about yourself?
Pretty much the same. You know, we had to, postpone one of our big initiatives, big community outreach initiatives, due to heat concerns tomorrow.
Oh man!
Yeah,
hear that? Well, hopefully you'll get it in sooner rather than later. But yeah, you got to think about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, safety
it's
first.
Brutal outside the next several days.
I know.
I'll take it easy and, do what we can. And it sounds like the weekend's going to break a little bit.
So yeah, we hope
so. Look forward to.
We hope so. So, but safety first. And so we always look for that. So, Julia, what do you have for us? I have a couple of things I wanted to run past you, but what's on the top of your mind? What's on top of mind here?
Well, before I forget, because I'm always forgetting to invite people to stuff, and I want to do that this time around. We've got an online screening of a really interesting documentary film tomorrow night, Tuesday, at 7 o'clock. Our friends at the League of Women Voters of Indiana are the main sponsors, but I'm going to be on the panel afterwards to talk about volunteer opportunities for our election protection work later on this year. But it's called, the film's called Suppressed and Sabotaged, The Fight to Vote. And it looks at all of these states that have passed voter suppression laws. Also takes a really close look at the state of Georgia, their gubernatorial election several years ago that was really a how-to in voter suppression attempts and how effectively they can change the outcome of an election. So if you're interested and available tomorrow night, the film's about 45 minutes long, and Sheila Kennedy, former professor at IUPUI, will also be speaking along with me afterwards. So please go to the Common Cause Indiana Facebook page, and you can find a link to sign up and register and join us tomorrow evening. I hope folks will be able to do that. It's really important. You know, we had just an unprecedented attempt to undermine the election and people's ability to vote freely in 2020. And unfortunately, we're going to see more of those efforts in 2022. So we need to all be educated and, do our part to make sure that these efforts to disenfranchise people, to stop them from voting, aren't successful.
Indeed.
So, again, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock. But, last week out of the State House, we had a couple of important announcements. I guess the first that I'll mention is Governor Holcomb has announced that through the merit selection process, he selected a new member of the Indiana Supreme Court. Derek Moulter, Judge Moulter, will be the newest member. And I just highlight that because, unlike a lot of states here in Indiana, we don't elect our Supreme Court. And here at Common Cause, we think that's a very good thing. We support merit selection of judges because we think that that's how you get judges who will stick to the law and not be tempted to wander off into the political realm. And, we see states like West Virginia and Pennsylvania, many others that elect judges, and it creates a whole bunch of problems, Who contributes to Supreme Court elections? Well, people who will have cases before that court. And so it really undermines the integrity of the judicial process. We need judges and justices that are accountable to the law and the Constitution, not to special interest groups or, trial lawyers or whoever. So that's one thing, you know, I'm often on this program criticizing the state of Indiana. So this time I just wanted to say something positive. You know, I think our court has been one that hasn't strayed off into politics too often. They have stuck with the law, and they've maintained the integrity, unlike some other states. And I think, you know, the process by which we get these judges has a lot to do with that. So that's a positive thing. Another big announcement by the governor was that apparently we're all going to be getting $225 back per taxpayer. You know, this is their plan to deal with inflation. And while, you know, I, like most folks, am not going to turn my nose up at $225, I'm not, you know, too excited about this because it seems like a really short-term election year fix, right? Are we going to get the governor to, you know, sign a letter saying, ah, here's your money? I mean, you know, it why not invest? You know, clearly our state has too big a surplus. We tax too many people and we hold on to too much of the public's money. But what I'd like to see is some bigger and bolder plans that will have a more long-term impact. Things like, you know, universal pre-K, affordable higher education for Hoosier students, mass transit, affordable housing. I mean, invest in job training. You know, we have so many needs here in Indiana that I think would go further than just send in each taxpayer $225. I'd like to see a more long-term, a more holistic effort to do things that'll benefit all Hoosiers, not, you know, put some extra money back in our pocket, which we'll have to go out and spend, right? Because we'll use that after we buy a couple of tanks of gas, right?
Yeah. And in some instances, one tank for some folks, you know, some poor folks are only going to get a tank out of it or, you know, maybe a tank and a half. But I know what you're saying. And that is the that is the concern over, you know, some more long-term effects that, you know, and why can't you do both? You know, like you say, the surplus is so incredible. And I understand.
You're sending it down anytime soon, absolutely.
No, I don't think so. I don't know. But, and it continues. You know, because it's not in an escrow account, is it?
I don't know. Money is certainly not my bailiwick, but yeah, no.
I didn't know if it was in an interest bearing.
It's out there churning up, you know.
That's what I was thinking. So, you're not going to lose too much getting rid of some of that principal. Yeah,
I'm not suggesting that, you know, we go blow it all like drunken sailors or anything. I mean, you know, it is important to have money in the bank for rainy days. But, and, you know, looking out my window right now, it's raining. So we have many needs here in Indiana. Why not be bolder, look more long term, and, you know, as I said earlier, it just smells like an election year gimmick. You know, hey, who sent you this money? Well, it was the people in charge. And, you know, I noticed this the weekend. I was down actually at our hometown visiting my mom at the assisted living facility, and there were some old men out on the porch. Well, did you hear? We're going to be getting a check. So, you know, it just, again, it's one of those quick fixes. Oh, look, people, here's what we did. But is that what we need?
And, Julia, there's the possibility that this could be round one, and then, you know, say, hey, we have a planned series, you know, of one, and then, you know, maybe another, you know, by early fall or mid fall or something before the end of the year, another. So you could unroll. But if you're, like you say, if it's just a quick fix to hit it quickly, but there has to be a little bit more thought put into something like that if you're really going to worry about long-term economic and inflation benefits, maybe, because who knows what you have to do the next time. Maybe 225 and then maybe 250 for Christmas. I don't know. There's just so many ways that you can be a little bit more creative and still not even touch much of the principal, because money is still coming in and, as you say, probably grabbing interest every day. When you got billions, you know how quickly that interest adds up. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll never know personally. But
well, yeah.
Well, this is what I understand. The law.
I've been told. Yeah, so, we've both been told.
Yeah, but, you know, we need some just bolder thinkers in the Indiana State House. I mean, we have been there and we've done this. And again, what sort of impact did it really have to help the average Hoosier? So, you know, I hope people will ask those kind of questions. That is the good thing about the election year is voters, you know, this provides us with an ability to say, well, you know, thanks for that 225, but let's talk longer term.
Mm-hmm.
And what about investing in our public health? What about investing in our infrastructure? Yeah. What about investing in our young people here in Indiana? You know, there was another astonishing report that came out. I'm sorry, I'm not recalling now. Maybe it was the Commission on Higher Ed, but fewer and fewer students are signing up for any type of higher education here in Indiana. And that has long-term impacts in terms of, you know, the quality of jobs in our economy and you know, what the future is going to hold for young people across our state. And, of course, you know, a big part of the problem is it's really expensive to pursue higher education. So, again, you know, we've got all of this evidence of Indiana lagging behind other states, of these holes that needed to be filled, but, you know, just short-term, short-sighted thinking from our elected officials. And and I think Hoosiers deserve better than that.
Yeah. Well, let's hope something changes. Speaking of inflation, economics, the post office, as if there is not embattled enough, going to raise the price of stamps and do a couple of other things. There are reports that from your organization that there's reason to believe that Postmaster General Louis DeJoy is continuing with his interference in terms of slowing down the mail service and doing things that are just, you know, counter to making it better for Americans. So, I was reading that from Common Cause, the national. I got a national email that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know a lot of people are saying, why hasn't the president fired this guy already, you know?
Well,
has he not messed up stuff already? And what you got to understand is that the system doesn't allow the president to fire the postmaster general. What has to happen is the Board of Governors has to take action. And so the president then does have the ability to appoint the members to the Board of Governors. And just, I believe it was last week, they were approved by the Senate, a couple of appointees by President Biden. Now, this is a bipartisan group. There are Republicans and Democrats on it. And in fact, the president, you know, appointed a Republican. So the interesting thing is going to be, will people be loyal to the president who appointed them, or will they be loyal to the political party? Because currently, I believe Biden has one more appointee than Trump appointed the other members of the Board of Governors. So, and, you know, our fear, of course, is that Louis DeJoy is doing his political thing. I mean, the guy had no business, you know, running the, as has no business running the post office, period. He has been a political hack, a fundraiser for the Republican National Committee, and clearly used his position to try to impact the ability of Americans to vote by mail and have those votes counted. So it is, you know, he's been a cancer on that agency for a long time, but it's my understanding that pretty soon the Board of Governors will have the ability to vote on whether or not Mr. DeJoy continues in his position, and let's hope that they make the right decision and get rid of him, because, you know, he certainly has not been a positive influence, and, you know, they need a fresh new face at the United States Postal Service now.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Julia. Well, and speaking of, have you been watching any of the Select Committee, the January 6th Select Committee hearings, either Thursday or this morning?
I was able to catch some this morning last Thursday. We actually were at a concert at White River State Park.
Oh, how nice.
Really, very much enjoyed that. It's a great facility. But, of course, I've been reading many dispatches from our national organization about the hearing last Thursday. So just, you know, more and more incredible revelations that I think, you know, make it even clearer than it was already clear that the source of everything that happened on January 6th, it began and it ended with the White House.
Yeah.
And clearly, you know, he had a lot of help, but Trump was the guy who lit the match.
And much like, it's undeniable, irrefutable evidence already. Excuse me, after just two hearings, they've got five more to go.
It's hard to imagine what else, right?
That's what I'm thinking. And to think that there was criticism that there weren't more hearings than these six, that there wouldn't be enough. My goodness, there is so much there. But I tell you what got me today, Julia, was the $250 million that he was able to raise amidst, you know, claims of election fraud and for legal fees and what have you. Not 1 cent went to that. That basically went in his pocket and friends and things of that nature. $250 million off the lie.
It's biggest grifter ever.
I know.
You know. Just the absolute grifter. And, you know, how is this not illegal? How
exactly?
How is that fraud, right?
How is he
how
not
is
in handcuffs right
to
now?
To raise money for one purpose and then use it for another. I mean, you know, not-for-profit organizations would get in big trouble for that, right?
They would be under the jail, Julia.
Yeah,
and
really.
And the revelations today were rock solid. They were rock solid with the timeline, with the amount of money, with the deliberate, intentional, purposeful mission at hand. If you take everything else off the table, everything else, and you just go to this, raising, you know, financing and raising fundraising off the big lie, you've got him right there.
Boy,
I don't know.
Yeah, it's an amazing investigative effort. So, you know, it's just really amazing the hard work that has gone into this, what they've been able to uncover, just, you know, the forensic science of it all is pretty darn interesting and incredibly damning. So, you know, let's hope this sticks. I mean, you know, we've talked about this earlier, that there are some people who, you know, it's like hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. They will not aren't ready to accept the truth, will not accept the truth.
Yeah.
But, you know, my faith is in the great middle of the country.
Yeah.
Those people who aren't hardcore partisans, I think that's the majority of us. And I think as this unfolds, then those people who had any doubts, you know, after all of this, how in the world can you have any doubt?
It's
very clear to me. And I just hope that those people will connect the dots and not just, you know, certainly Trump deserves to be punished to the highest extent of the law. But I hope that people, the voters, will punish those politicians who chose to put party over country and contributed to this whole big lie that is really undermining not just our election system, but our country.
Yeah, a drunken Rudolph Giuliani would be a good start. So,
yeah, they could share a cell together somewhere.
Yeah, that would be a good place to start. But I got to believe people will tolerate a lot of things, but when you start messing with their money and their bank accounts, they tend to change
it's a flim
direction.
Plan. Yeah,
it's flim plan, bamboozled.
So darn sleazy, you know. Just how sleazy can you die? You know, I see these widows writing checks from their Social Security. And, you know, the scam that they had where it's unless you check this tiny little box that they've hidden from you, it will be a monthly or weekly contribution.
Oh, yeah?
I've read too many stories of people who have lost you know, their entire life savings to this grifter.
Yeah. And he
could
care less.
The fact that he continues, continues today. I mean, I know people who were on the fundraising list, and I mean, they send out like, dozens of email requests daily.
Well, you know, and
hopefully the jig is up on this scam. But we'll see.
But yeah, so we all know, we've all talked to people, family, friends, we know. We'll see. We'll see how it all turns out. But Julia, thank you so much for being with us today. And again, a reminder about the event tomorrow, the movie.
7 o'clock tomorrow night. We, our friends, the League of Women Voters of Indiana, are screening a great documentary, going to be an online screening. It's called Suppressed and Sabotaged, The Fight to Vote. So you can do your registration, get on Common Cause Indiana's Facebook page or the League of Women Voters of Indiana. You can also register at their page as well. And looking forward to that event.
All righty. Well, thank you for coming on with us today. We look forward to talking with you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Tina. Right. Take care.
You too. Be careful out there.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Important reminder, as I was saying, and I want to say it again. We talked about it a couple of times. I'm going to remind you again before we leave the air. Unfortunately, due to projected high heat conditions, the heat index tomorrow, the food and meal distribution planned for tomorrow at the Indianapolis Urban League has been rescheduled, postponed until next Tuesday, June 21st. That's 1 week from tomorrow. Indianapolis Urban League President and CEO Tony Mason made that call just a short time ago today. Again, the food and meal distribution at the Urban League that was to have been tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock has been rescheduled to next Tuesday, June 21st at 10 a.m. due to expected heat conditions that are unsafe for tomorrow. So it's just going to be too hot, and we're going to, I'm assuming, and I know what Tony's doing. He's erring on the side of caution. Safety first. We still want to make sure that we get the much-needed food and meals and supplies to those who need them, but we have to be safe first. We have to protect you, our volunteers, and everybody else in between. So in the interest of safety, everything has been pushed back 1 week. So it'll be Tuesday, June 21st at 10 a.m. at the Indianapolis Urban League, 777 Indiana Avenue. Same time, same location. Again, just 1 week later and hopefully cooler. Please plan to share this with others who may not be listening right now, who may not be hearing what we're talking about. Again, tomorrow's food and meal distribution at the Indianapolis Urban League has been postponed by 1 week because of heat. Until next Tuesday morning, June 21st at 10 a.m., it will be held. It's just going to be way too hot and not safe tomorrow. That's all the time we have for right now. We are always right here on WTLC AM 1310, 92.7 FM, and 95.1 FM, The Light. Don't forget about our website, praiseindy.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Light, and at Twitter. I'm sorry, on Twitter, we are at Community Indy. Willie Moore Jr. is up next. Thank you for joining us. We're back tomorrow, as I was saying. So please plan to join us. Until then, have a good one. I'm Tina Cosby, and this is Community Connection.